شیخ باقر شریف القرشی decides to compile everything that is recorded as the seerah of Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salatu was-salam in the books.
Late Qarashi, he mentions, among my works, I had a kind of mind-changing work being included in the lifestyle of Imam Sajjad.
He changed the world for the better and made us better creatures. Oh Allah.
Be more familiar with outstanding Shia figures in The Teacher.
We've wronged ourselves. What will we say in front of it?
Assalamu alaikum to you, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. This is The Teacher. I'm Atta, the host of this program. The Teacher is about the life and works of the most outstanding Muslim thinkers, philosophers, and scholars all across the world of Islam. With me in the studio are two guest speakers from the Islamic House of Qom, Sheikh Ziyaniya and Sheikh Mahdavi. Sheikh Ziyaniya, assalamu alaikum, welcome to the show.
Wa alaikum assalam, dear brother.
And Sheikh Mahdavi, assalamu alaikum, brother.
Alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah.
So, in our last episode, we were concerned with the life and works of Baqir Sharif al-Gharashi from Iraq, one of the most outstanding Shiite historian and biographers, and today we want to talk about his most outstanding work, that is Mawsu'atu Siratul Ahl Bayt alayhim as-salam, which is considered one of the most comprehensive works written in the Arabic language regarding the lifestyle and the conduct of Ahlul Bayt. First of all, let's talk a little bit about title Mawsu'ah. What is Mawsu'ah? Because you know, there are also so many other works which enjoy this title, I mean this term, Mawsu'ah. What does it mean?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Mawsu'ah is a technical term in, Islamic studies and in academic studies, that we may say that is referring to collecting every related issue to a, proper subject. Mm-hmm. For example, when we are talking about Mawsu'atul Hayat al-Imam al-Sajjad alayhi salam or Mawsu'atul Hayat al-Imam al-Husayn alayhi salatu wa salam, it means that we decide to collect everything that is related with the personality, with the life, with the figure of the Imam al-Husayn alayhi salatu wasalam, and that is including, for example, his words, his life, his date of birth, his martyrdom, and his children, his family, and the situation in which he was living, and the activities that he had done during his lifetime,
okay,
and many different things that are related to the personality of Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam.
That's
or
right.
Other infallibles.
So, in general, we could say that Mawsu'ah is a detailed account. Is it so?
Yes.
Can be translated
yes.
as a detailed account of the life account or the lifestyle of an infallible Imam, or from among the 14 Masumin. That's right. Baqir Sharif al-Gharashi compiled many works, Sheikh Mahdavi, and as you said, upon the suggestion of Shahid al-Sadr, he dedicated himself to Islamic history and the seerah of the Ahlul Bayt. But what is this seerah? I mean, talk a little bit about the seerahs, the seerah of Ahlul Bayt and the seerah of ulama, I mean, this lifestyle and account. What fruits and what importance does it have in order to be studied?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. The word seerah, when we talk about the word seerah in Arabic, we mean the certain type of manners and behaviors a person would do mm-hmm. during the time. When we say, for example, what type of seerah your teacher had when he would teach you, we mean that what type of behavior, what type of personality, the methodology that he would do during his teaching in our class. This is his lifestyle, or better, if we go through his lifestyle, we're talking about his lifestyle. But during his teaching, the type of manners and behaviors he would do to teach and deliver the lessons, this is the seerah. The word seerah refers to. So when we talk about the seerah of Ahlul Bayt, generally speaking, we are trying to include a comprehensive field of study.
That's
the
right.
way Ahlul Bayt would treat people, I mean mm-hmm. general people, their students, khulafa,
mm-hmm.
in their environment, the way they would practice different concept.
That's right.
For example, his sira regarding his generosity.
That's
if
right.
If a faqir or if a needy people would refer to them, what type of behavior
very good.
Imam Hassan had, or what type of behavior and treatment Ahlul Bayt had in terms of treating with needy people and poor people.
So out of these books, or out of this series of the books of Sharif al-Gharashi, we could take out practical lessons.
Definitely.
In order to apply in our lives. And that's really beautiful. And, sometimes they say that, for example, the seerah of the lifestyle of an imam might date back to, I don't know, more than 1,000 years ago. What is the application today? What's your answer to that? I mean, out of the book of the Seerah of Ahlul Bayt, can we use really in the modern world them and take them practical lessons for today's world?
I think this is a very nice question, and this is not only applied in this field of study. We can apply it generally to the whole regulation, because when we talk about Islam, we see that Islam has been initiated 1,400 years ago. Yes. So the type of the regulation and laws that have been issued back then might have no use in okay. our time. Why? Because the world has changed, the time yes. has changed. So what is the response for this question? Mm-hmm. We have to say, okay, in terms of some issues that have nothing to do with the spirituality or the nature of human being, time has nothing to do with that.
Okay,
human being is a human being. No matter if he was living 100 years ago, 1,000 years ago, or he is living right now.
That's right.
He is human being in terms of marrying. He is human being in terms of worshiping the Lord. He is human being in terms of having the eternal life. But in terms of, for example, type of eating,
yes.
types of transportation, types yes. of things like this, it has nothing to do with the nature of human being.
That's all right.
So it may change during the time and throughout the history.
That's right.
And human being might adopt mm-hmm. the changes
That's right.
of the life and the world and the time.
That's right.
So what you're right now talking about, why are we reading the seerah of Ahlul Bayt? The seerah of Ahlul Bayt in terms of the nature of human being treating with different people.
That's right.
No matter which level of the society they are coming from. Mm-hmm. So in that time, the same thing that they were doing could be applied.
That's right.
When we are talking about our time.
That's right.
So, for example, if a needy people would refer to them the kind of respect that they would present at
yes.
that moment.
Yes.
We have to apply it in our time mm-hmm. and in our life. It has nothing to do saying that, okay, since 1400 years mm-hmm. passed, now we have to generate a different type of behavior. No.
That's right.
We should treat people based on their dignity, based on their knowledge,
That's
based
right.
on their humanity, not based on their wealth.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so these type of issues have nothing to do with the change of time.
That's right. So if you want to be more familiar with the true practitioners of the Islam, we have to refer to the books which is written on seerah.
I may add a point to the points that my brother Sheikh Mahdavi mentioned.
Very good.
That studying seerah is very beneficial for us mm-hmm. to get as much close to the teachings of Islam, to have the best Islamic society.
Yes.
If we need to have Islamic society, we need to get as much as possible to the teachings of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salatu wasalam and the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Inshallah. Okay, thank you Sheikh Ziyania for your explanation regarding the seerah. Now let's get back to the mawsu'ah itself. So when Sheikh Baqir Sharif al-Gharashi wrote mawsu'ah of Ahlul Bayt, was he only concerned with the Ahlul Bayt or no? For example, because when we say Ahlul Bayt, a specific people comes to the mind, you know? Or no, the other people during the history of Islam, were also concerned in that book? And what about Prophet Muhammad? What about Hazrat Fatima al-Zahra? Were these also included among the writings of Sheikh Baghir Sharif al-Gharashi or not?
Yes, you know, because he wanted, as this suggestion of Shahid al-Sadr, yes, that he told him that we need to revise the history of Islam and Sirat al-Ma'sumin. So Sheikh Baghir Sharif al-Gharashi decides to compile everything that is recorded as the seerah of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salatu wassalam in the books. So he starts with the life of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and he compiles this book in 3 volumes, but he have more 37 volumes regarding the lives of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salatu wasalam, I mean the 13 infallibles including Sayyidah Fatima Salamullah alayha. And then he continues, you know, some volumes to talk about, for example, the life of Sayyidah Zainab Salamullah alayha, yes, even the life of Abbas ibn Ali, yes, ibn Qamar ibn Hashim, and Hayatul Shahid Muslim ibn Aqil. These people and these figures, yes, who are not infallible, mm-hmm, but they are, you know, like the
minor parts of the Ahlul Bayt, you,
yes,
mean. That's right. The people who are somehow related to the family of Prophet Muhammad and the infallible Imams and are specific figures for a Shiite history is also included in the Mawsu'a.
Yes, right. So they, okay, are great figures, but they are not Imams.
Imams, they are not infallible.
In that level.
Yes.
And maybe we would ask why Sheikh Baghir Sharif al-Gharashi is giving the details of the life of these figures. We should notice that, yes, these figures are not infallible. They are not, you know, in the degree of Imams or in the level of Imams. But these figures are really great. Mm-hmm. And, you, yes, know, their behavior, it does not mean that when we say that they are not Imam, it means that they were, na'udhu billah, they were committing sins. No.
No.
They were in a very high level of piety.
Yes. Yes.
So we need to study their, you know, life to find out how we as, you know, normal people also can follow Ahlul Bayt alayhi salatu wasalam. Beside that, these figures, for example, Sayyidah Zainab salamullah alayha, yes, has sacrificed her life for the sake of Imam al-Husayn alayhi salatu wasalam. So she is included in the life of Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam, as Muslim ibn Aqil, as Ghabar ibn Hashim. So these figures are related to the life, mm-hmm, of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salatu wasalam.
That's right.
And Mawsu'a in its broad meaning, mm-hmm, is covering this, you know, concept also.
Because when we separately look at the books, we find the word Hayat, for example, Hayat al-Imam al-Hassan al-Mujtaba, Hayat al-Muslim Naqir Hayat. We say with the life or the lifestyle of these outstanding men and women during the history. And as you said, that's right, there are also so many lessons which can be learned from the people who were not directly from among the Ahlul Bayt, but related to the families of Ahlul Bayt. For example, the loyalty of Qamar ibn Hashim, the faithfulness of Muslim ibn Aqil, you know, and all these traits that can be still practiced in the life of the Muslims today are really important and can be taken out. Unfortunately, the series of the works on the lives of the infallible Imams of Sheikh Baghir Sharif al-Gharashi have been translated into English language too. And this is the good news for us. Okay, Sheikh Mahdavi, do you have any other detail about the book and the research method, or maybe the method of bringing up the content of this book?
Okay, I think it's good to know about this big compilation of lifestyle of Ahlul Bayt, because sometimes for our audience, if they are familiar with the history of Ahlul Bayt, they might be of this opinion that what new things are going to be included in these 40 volumes. Most of the knowledge or most of, yes, the main ideas are the repetitive things that we are familiar with.
That's right.
So they may not think that they have to take a look into these books. But for example, late Qarashi, he mentions, among my works, I had a kind of mind-changing works being included in the lifestyle of Imam Sajjad. The thing or the main idea we are familiar with the lifestyle of Imam Sajjad is the Imam who kept dedicating his life to worshiping. Mm-hmm. So if we go to a Muslim or a Shia young person and ask him about the lifestyle of Imam Sajjad, the main thing
he might refer to is the, for example, he was Zainul Abidin.
Yes.
He was the best of the worshipper.
Yes.
But he is trying to establish this idea that Imam Sajjad must be considered as the founder of new civilization, Islamic civilization.
Okay.
He mentions or take into account 200 scholars being cultivated under the hands of Imam Sajjad alayhi salam. Oh. So this is a very important thing that he is trying to deliver this message, that do not consider that what you are familiar with are going to be included in my book. No, there are new things.
Or Imam Sajjad, for example, as a secluded person, was always been worshipping and not doing anything else.
Okay? Yeah, he is saying that he was the reviver of the Islamic culture in that corrupted environment, specifically after the Yazid.
Yes.
And when he comes to the lifestyle or the life of Imam Sadiq, which is included in 7 volumes, he considers this work out of the best works in this compilation, saying that I dedicated part of my life to author this book. And one of the things that I was trying to consider in this book was to compile the name of the students and the name of the scholars being cultivated under the hand of Imam Sadiq alayhi salam. He mentions 3,652 scholars, not the student. He says the number of the students is above 400, 500. This is something that, which is also recorded in Sunni histories.
Yes.
But he mentions above 3,000 scholars.
You mean 40, 50,000, the whole people? And more than scholars.
This,
that's
right. Yes, this 3,000, they are scholars. They
that's
were
right.
not just ordinary students.
Okay.
So he says that I was trying to compile their names in order to establish or in order to demonstrate the position of Imam Sadiq in that environment and in time.
Thank you very much, Sheikh Mahtavi and Sheikh Ziaunia. I think the people from the other fields of studies, like, for example, those who are working on the cinematic formats, those who are interested in producing movies or documentaries on the life of the Imams, also can benefit very much from the books of Baghir Sharif Al-Gharashi, as they used to do that, you know, because in the filmmaking, upon the seerah and the details and the events of the life of an infallible Imam or Prophet Muhammad, they need authentic sources. And I think Baghir Sharif Al-Gharashi is for sure one of the people or one of the scholars whose works are very much trusted, trustworthy, and authentic. And the filmmakers, those who are artists, they can all refer to these works in order to be more familiar with the true seerah and lifestyle and life account of the infallible Imams. Okay, it was very kind of you, Sheikh Ziaunia, Sheikh Mahtavi. Thank you very much for your presence in the program, the teacher. And thank you very much, dear listeners, for listening to us. For more information on this episode and to download for free our other episodes on this program, you can visit our website at parstoday.com/en. Till another episode, God bless you all. Fi amanallah. علم